So good afternoon and welcome to The Harvest Table. You might be thinking, what is going on? This voice is it. What's happening today? Well, of course, if you were listening from the very beginning of August, you would know that on every Saturday for the month of August, being Women's Month, you would have heard a different voice doing a different topic on a series called The Harvest Table. And if you're not familiar with it is a series for women by women tackling topics impacting women today. And so I am Odile Swartz. I'm your host for the final episode of the month of August's The Harvest Table. Throughout the month, we looked at different topics such as the waiting season. That was the very first Saturday. Then we had self-care and the importance of healing. That was the second Saturday. And then last week, we had an amazing event out in Kirstenhof to Kaiside CHS. It was the Harvest Table event itself. And I hope that you were there. I hope you had an amazing time. And of course, there they unpacked similar topics to what had been done on air previously. And I heard that it was absolutely amazing and impactful. But today's topic is going to be a big one. And I encourage you, as families, as husband and wife, as whether you are married for a year, a month, 20 years, 30 years, I encourage you today to come close to your radio. Why? Because our topic for today is entitled The Vow. And today, even our guests that we have selected will be sharing about their own personal journey, how the vow has translated into their reality. And so I encourage you to come closer to your radio. Couples, those that are newly engaged, planning weddings, newly married, and still navigating this new thing called married life, I encourage you to come close, because today it is going to be absolutely mind-blowing. It's going to be life-changing. It's going to be impactful, and I encourage you to come close and to listen. I also want to say that if you have a question or a comment that you want to make throughout today's show, I encourage you to do so by sending your WhatsApps via text or voice note to 061-798-1075. It's gone 20 minutes after four. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting to a very, very special guest who joins me in studio today. Good afternoon. Brannon Murphy, a track entitled Look at What Grace Can Do. 22 minutes after 4 o'clock. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Harvest Table. I'm your host, Odile Swartz, with you till about 6 p.m. this evening. And today's topic, if you're tuning in for the first time, this is the final episode of The Harvest Table, and we are so excited to end it with a bang. And today's topic is entitled The Vow, Till Death Us Do Part. And we are joined in studio today by Felicity Duthie, a colleague of mine, a friend of mine, who has come to share her personal testimony and, of course, relating to the very topic entitled The Vow Till Death Us Do Part. Good afternoon, Felicity, and welcome to The Harvest Table.
Hey, Odile. Thank you for this opportunity to share our testimony. I speak today on behalf of Dalmaine and myself.
Right.
He wasn't able to come here today, but I have his permission to share what I'm sharing today.
That's wonderful. And so, Felicity, during wedding ceremonies, we're going to kick it right off at the very top. Couples will usually recite vows, which usually include words like for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. But what happens when the latter, in fact, becomes our reality? And so let's talk quickly around you and your husband, Dalmaine. How did you meet your husband? Let's unpack how you met, as well as the life that you built together.
Okay, so Dalmaine and I met in 1988, way back.
Okay.
Through mutual family members, and they arranged an outing to Saint-Flay in Musenberg, by the way.
Okay, we know that place.
Yeah. And we came paddle skiing, and the intention was to get us together. And, well, it worked, because it became a regular activity.
Okay.
We went to different places, and we enjoyed what we were doing together. Mm-hmm. And so we discovered that we had so many things in common. We both enjoyed swimming. Okay. And shall I add paddle skiing then to the list?
Okay.
Because he had the paddle ski, and so
okay.
That was the draw card.
Okay.
And we both liked sightseeing and music and art and eating out. Mm-hmm. And then this deep love for the Lord. That's something we shared. And so for the next 3 years, while we were courting, we had a very great time enjoying each other's company. Mm-hmm. And then we decided that we were ready to tie that knot, sure, and say our vows. So we, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish. That last part is very important, to continue to love and to cherish. And I just want to stop there for a little part, just to say that those vows weren't just made to one another. It was made to God, and we took that very seriously. We got married on the 22nd of March, 1991, which happens to be your birthday.
Correct.
So every year when I celebrate my anniversary, then Odile celebrates a birthday. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we got married in the hometown of, my hometown of Stellenbosch.
Yes.
And I then moved to Cape Town. Mm-hmm. Dalmaine was divorced when we met and had two children from his previous marriage. And from our union, we had one son, Chad, who turned 30 this year.
Wow.
And is married to a wonderful woman. And they have two little gorgeous boys, Nana's Pride and Joy. So
yes,
I want to just tell you about our life together.
Yes.
Our marriage was not your typical fairy tale marriage where you lived happily ever after. Oh, no. In fact, it required much work, hard work, endurance, continued commitment, and much, much prayer, I want to add. There were seasons of disappointment, pain, harsh words, moodiness, and then we would go into our different corners and complain to the Lord about the other one. But you know, when that happens, what the Lord does.
Yes.
The Lord changes our hearts. And then, in obedience to the Lord, we would come back to one another and seek peace, and always choose one another again. So whether those waves and seasons came, our main thing that kept us going for almost 33 years was choosing one another every single day. And that is what marriage is about. It's not about just being, it's a wonderful fairy tale life, because it's not. We choose one another again. And those, during those difficult times, I always had this overwhelming sense of God's presence. And I'm reminded of a story in the book of Daniel, chapter 3 and verse 25. And it's the story where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace because they refused to bow before the gold statue. They were bound when they were thrown in to the fire. And then the king Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace. He asked his men around him and said, "Weren't there three men when we tied them up and thrown into the fire?" And his men answered and said, "Yes, your majesty." And he said, "But look, I see four men walking around in the fire, and they are unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God."
Wow.
That, for me, that scripture is just so amazing, and that speaks of where God has taken us through. He's taken us bound by our circumstances sometimes, bound by pain, bound by hurt, by disappointment. But when Jesus comes into the situation, he unbinds, he releases, 100%. He gives freedom. And so that is something that I kept with me throughout our journey, that Jesus was with us through the fire. He promises us, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you whatever you face. And so that for me was so important. That was so beautiful that I had Jesus with us. Not I, we had. Yes. And I did say that we would go and pray in our corner because we both love the Lord. And then when we get to the Lord changes our hearts and he makes us see things differently. Mm. And then there were times that we would just come back and have to say, I'm sorry, and go and choose one another again. And so true freedom is only found in Jesus Christ.
Wow. Felicity, of course, we've just spoken about how you met your husband as well as the life that you built together. However, your husband became ill in 2016. Would you briefly tell us what happened on that particular day?
Well, in October of 2016, he suffered a stroke. Mm-hmm. But before I get to that, I'd like to share an event with you that shaped and impacted our lives. In my previous employment, I was the conference coordinator of the Vineyard Churches, and I specifically did the conferences. So in 2016, the conference was held in Knysna, and so I invited him. They would normally fly me to Durban or Joburg, wherever we had the conferences, but this one was in Knysna, so we could drive with our car, and I invited him to go along with me. And we had such a beautiful conference. During the last evening of the conference, the topic was about marriage and honoring your marriage partner. And we were both impacted by that. We were both impacted to the point where we went for prayer. Because we just felt that this is a start. The Lord has given us another clean slate, you know. And so we went. We didn't go together because I was the conference coordinator running around, but I still slipped in and went for prayer. And I was only told afterwards that he also went for prayer. Anyway, so we then left the next morning, which is Friday morning, and we drive home. After a beautiful week of ministering and beautiful week of just being impacted by the speakers. And we stopped at a place called Albertina. And at Albertina, I was led to share something that the Lord laid on my heart. And I said to Dalman, I'm going to share something with you now, but from my side. There's no expectation that you have to reciprocate. Just hear what I have to say. And I said to him, I was so impacted by the sermon the night before. And I want to say, please, won't you just forgive me for everything I've done to you? Forgive me for everything I've done. And from this day, I forgive you for what you have done wrong towards me. And I want to say, I want to start a new slate, forgiving everything, forgetting. Because sometimes it's easy to forgive, but we still remember at the back of our minds, you've done this and you've done that. But I want to say, let's erase, let's delete, let's stop and remember that going forward, we're going to have a new journey. And he said to me, I was going to say the same to you. That was so beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful moment that the Lord used. And then we started praying together. We prayed into this new opportunity, in this new life that the Lord has given. So on our return home now, we go home, and I didn't work on a Monday in that job, and so on the Tuesday I go back to work. And as I then went came home the afternoon, I find this man on the floor, unconscious. And he then suffered a major stroke. We took him to the hospital by ambulance, called the ambulance. But before that, when I saw him lying on the floor, my prayer was, Lord, what do I pray? I didn't know he was a big guy. And I thought, if he'd suffer a stroke, how would I be able to lift him? How would I be able to care for him? How do I pray, Lord, take him? Those were things that just went through my head. And the Lord calmed me and said, pray, my will be done. And I said, yes, Lord, let your will be done in my life. So when we got to the hospital, the doctor said, ma'am, unfortunately, we don't know if he's ever going to come out of this coma. He suffered a major stroke. And the Lord, we then started praying. We got everybody, you know, we pray, we send messages, please pray. Doctor said, please call your family. Let them come to the hospital. We're not too sure if he's going to make it. By that evening, he sat up in his bed. But unfortunately, just after that, he had something called TIA, which stands for transient ischemic attacks, which are those mini strokes, which impacted him and hurt the frontal lobe of the brain. And he was left with dementia type symptoms. So he has difficulty focusing, problem solving, low motivation, and forgetfulness. Thankfully, there was no paralysis, and we give God the honor for that.
And so, Felicity, I have a question. Having heard everything that you've said, also having noted the strength that you showed in that particular moment, how has your husband's illness impacted your family life?
Wow, it has changed my entire life. It has changed our lives. But I want to say, without the Lord, I wouldn't have been able to do this. It's sad to see this independent, talented, gifted man forget most of the things that he could do. He was a brilliant cook. He forgot how to make those delicious meals. There was also no inclination to do anything because the center of the brain that controls the motivation was impaired. And so he has to be helped with his very personal care, having to go from reminding him to take his medication to administering it myself, because now I have to remind him it's Sunday or it's Saturday. It's morning, so we use the white tablets. It's the evening, we use the blue holder for the tablets. Even though I set it out, I can't just assume that he will take the correct tablets. So I am his carer, but God has given me not just the ability. He has, yes, but he's given me the compassion to do it lovingly, to do it caringly, to do it as unto the Lord. And having said that, I also want to say there are times that it's difficult, that I do get impatient, but then I can come back and ask the Lord for forgiveness. I can say, Lord, please help me through this. And I can find strength in that. I can find that the Lord has been there. He promises us that he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And that I hold on to dearly. Those scriptures, that Jeremiah scripture of 33, chapter 33 and verse 3, where it says, call on my name, and I will show you great and marvelous things. And you know, the Lord has really shown me great and marvelous things. Because when he can't express what he wants to say, I can leave it and walk away. Or I could say, Lord, give me the wisdom. give me the question that I can ask, do you mean this or do you mean that? And no, then we rule out the one. Okay, now, did you mean this? No, not that. I mean, and then we go on, and by the process of elimination, most of the times we get to what he wants to say. But it is a skill that wasn't there, that I had to learn, that the Lord gave me the strength to do, you know. And so that for me was just a wonderful thing. And then I want to add this. When I visited him in the hospital, the first thing he asked me when he saw me was, are you going to leave me now? And my response was, no. Do you remember Albertina?
Sure.
Yes. Where we renewed our vows. And then he would become peaceful. And that promise, I tell you, had to be repeated many times. But this cemented our lives in love. He was left so many times in his life. Mm. And he probably expected that now that he was sick, that I would go too. But once I start mentioning Albertina, it's amazing. He has forgotten so many things, but he remembers Albertina. He remembers that hinge moment that changed everything. And it was like a fresh understanding that dawned on him that I am here to stay. For better, for worse, till death us do part. And that was the promise I made to him, but before the Lord. So I made it to the Lord, and I am choosing every day to remain with him. Recently, I was told, there's a facility that you can send him to. And I said, no, I don't think that I would want to do that, especially because of the questions he's asked me so many times. So yeah, that is what the Lord has done in our lives, giving me the strength to cope when things were so difficult.
Wow, it is 20 minutes before 5 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break. Good afternoon. That was Elevation Worship and Ain't Nobody. It's 15 minutes before 5 o'clock. And if you're tuning in, good afternoon. Welcome to the final episode of the series called The Harvest Table. And we are joined in studio by Felicity Duthie, who is sharing her own testimony about the words for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, till death us do part. Felicity, before we took a break, you spoke a little bit around how your husband's illness has impacted your family life. But my question to you is, as his primary caregiver, what have you learned about yourself during this journey?
I've learned a lot of things that I didn't thought I would. But I've also learned that I don't need to be strong all the time. Mm. I can run to the name of Jesus, who is my strength. When I'm weak, he's strong. I can rely on him to give me wisdom when I need it. He says, ask and it will be given. And I can ask. I've asked so many times for the Lord to just help me, to give me guidance, to give me wisdom, to give me understanding for what he's going through, because it can't be easy for him either. You know, as difficult it is for me, it's not so easy for him. So I've asked the Lord to put me in his shoes and to give me a heart of compassion and love, and to come back to the vow again, to love and to cherish. To cherish the times we had together before, but to cherish the times that we have now. Like, we would go to a restaurant and I would have to order the food. Before, it was the other way around. And he would be there, but sometimes not even in the moment. And like we would go on maybe an occasion like a celebration, it's an anniversary or it's a birthday, and the two of us would go. And it's a very different one because there are days that he hardly talks. There are days that he doesn't remember words, and then he would just be very, very quiet. And then I would sit there and think, wow, this is very different to before, where we would chat or would laugh, we would, you know, and enjoy one another. It's not that we're not enjoying. It's just different. So I, even in that, the Lord has given me peace. The Lord has given me that understanding. This is where we are now. This is what He wants of me now. And I can just say, Lord, give me the peace. That peace that passes all understanding. And I've learned to ask the Lord. And I've learned to ask the Lord for compassion and also forgiveness. I've learned that every day we receive new grace. New grace when we fail, because boy, I did. I can honestly say there are times that I get irritated because I don't understand what He wants and I'm busy. And then the Lord would call me because I would just think, what if this was me? And then I could come to the Lord and say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. But I've also realized I can be real. I can be real, even though it's not easy. But I want to add, I would choose Him again. Even if you ask me, if I had known this would happen, would I not have chosen Him? I would have chosen Him. I do believe that the Lord gives us what we can handle with His help. And so the Lord has given me this, and I don't want to say burden. I want to say it's a challenge at times, but He's also given, He's equipped me to handle Him.
Wow.
You know, there are days and lately it's things like very personal things. I have had to learn to shave. Something simple as that. I mean, we ladies, we don't do that. And I had to go one day and buy this shaver. And I thought, wow, this is a new experience for me because I must now go and shave my husband. And I gladly do that. And I lovingly do it. I had to almost win his confidence when I had to start washing him and then say, you know that I'm doing this because I love you, not because I want to control. And so it was those little things that I've learned that the Lord has given me just a love for him, a different love. It's not your erotic love any longer. The love has changed from that now into caring, into loving, into ministering. I see him as my primary ministry. Because I must see, before I leave home, I must make sure there's something for him to eat. There's something for him to drink. Lately, we're at a place where I have a permanent little note. If you would like a drink, there's one in the fridge for you. So we do it that way, and he's happy with that. So yes, I've learned a lot about myself that the Lord has allowed me to do. I am thankful. I can say that today I am thankful. I can, with a thankful heart. The one song I play on the piano regularly is Give Thanks to the Lord.
Wow.
Give thanks to the Lord, because even in this situation, I could look back and say, why did I have to get this? But I have allowed the Lord to say, look what you can do through me. And there's a a picture the Lord is giving me many years ago of an ostrich lamp, ostrich egg lamp. Mm. I don't know if you've seen those in the curio shops. Mm. The lamp is made out of an ostrich egg, and then they pierce little holes to make little patterns on them in the shapes of elephants or just stars or whatever. But once you put the light inside, it shines beautiful, beautiful, beautiful patterns on the walls. Mm-hmm. And I liken that to my life. I'm not perfect. But when the light of Christ is inside of me, mm-hmm. I radiate those beautiful patterns. Mm-hmm. I can show God's light and love to him in this situation, even though it's a difficult situation.
We have literally about 2 minutes left. Can you believe it? This hour has just flown by. But Felicity, before we let you go, and like I said, we have about 2 minutes. What word of encouragement do you have for others who may be living the same reality as you? And like I said, we have 2 minutes.
I will have to squeeze that in. Yes. But you know what? The main thing is stay close to the Lord.
Wow.
And build yourself up. Because you can't give what you don't have. Put your trust in him, because he is able and he's with you. And he promises us never to leave us and never to forsake us. Continue to love and make that your ministry. And I have found lately that my husband prays with me. I invited him recently to pray with me, and I thought I would do most of the praying, and then he started off and I was so surprised. He didn't pray a long prayer, but he prayed anyway. And so pray with your loved ones, play worship songs, play encouraging notes on your phone to him. That is what I've learned. It stimulates the spirit man, build up that spirit man. And so I want to say, if you're going through this, stay close to the source that gives you light and love. That's my encouragement.
Wow. Thank you very much, Felicity Duthie, for joining us this afternoon on our first hour of the final episode of the series entitled The Harvest Table. Thank you, ma'am. And may God continue to be your strength, your source, and your light. Let's take a quick music break.
Amen.
It is Odile Swartz coming to you live from The Harvest Table. It is the final episode for the series entitled The Harvest Table, and we are so excited to end it off with the topic that we have selected, namely the vow till death us do part. And if you tuned in at about 4 o'clock, you would have heard me chatting to Felicity Duthie, and she was sharing her testimony about her own reality and those words that we say when we make our marital vows, you know, in sickness and in health, till death us do part. But the question I posed to her was, what happens if that becomes your reality? And she shared such a beautiful testimony of her life, of her marriage to her husband, and what transpired when he became ill just about 7 years ago, and how God has been with her, kept her, strengthened her, been her rock, been her source, and allowed her to learn more about herself as well. And so we are in the second and final hour of today's The Harvest Table, the vow being the topic. And so we are joined in studio. I'm very excited to have this pastoral couple in studio today, namely Pastor Christine and Pastor Donovan Jacobs, all the way from EKC. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Adele.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well.
Wonderful.
I brought my husband with me this afternoon.
You drank with.
I love how he says he knows that she planned this.
She planned it.
And so, of course, they've come to unpack, you know, these two simple words, yeah, called the vow. And so when I put the questions together, Pastors Christine and Pastor Donovan, I thought about those two words and I thought, you know, how do we unpack this? Mm-hmm. But how does it become unpacked in a manner that is real and relevant, mm-hmm, to those that are courting, planning to get married in a week, in a month, married for a month, married for a year, married for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. How is these words relevant today? And so as believers, we understand the importance of marital vows that we make. It's the wedding day. You're out there looking very beautiful. Husbands looking very dapper in their suits. And of course, then you get to the portion of the ceremony where the pastor or the priest or those who are officiating, they get to that portion where you begin to say those very important words, in sickness and in health and until death us do part, and you begin to repeat it back to your future husband or on that particular day, my now husband or my now wife. But for those tuning in and for clarity, what does scripture teach us about marital vows?
Yeah. Wonderful.
Do you want to go first?
You can start. You know, for me, this is such a wonderful subject that, because all of us want to get married. You know, we're young, we're in love. And if I talk to the young ones, everybody wants to get married. They want that ring on their finger. They want to be, the ladies, they want to be proposed to. And they're in waiting and waiting forever. And for them, it's like they just want the ring on. Yeah. And that's it. Nothing more. And in the week, I was talking to my daughter. We were driving to school. And I said, Rebecca, I'm going to be on CCFM and I'm going to talk about the vow. And then I started talking to her. And then these words came out of my mouth. What is the wow in the vow? Yeah. Or what is the vow in the wow? And she said, Mommy, is that what they ask you? I said, no, it's the first time I'm hearing it as well. What is the wow in the vow? And the vow is so important because we only think it's, you're right, we only think of that one day. Mm. We're going to say our vows and that's what we're going to do. And then after the vow, we go off and we live happily ever after. And you know, listening to Felicity.
Yes.
Wow. For me, that is the wow in the vow.
Albertinia.
Oh, ne? Ik het geheel. Albertinia to heel ik in die studio.
That is the wow. Mm. In the vow, that she could stay with her husband through everything. That is now sickness and in health. And till death do us part. And for me, that's the wow. Nothing more. I prepared something else to say that, what is the wow. But listening to her today, so awesome. And I said thank you to her earlier on for sharing a testimony. Mm-hmm. Because as young ones, starting out in marriage, they need to know. There is a... after the wedding day. So what does scripture teach? I think I want to get to Matthew 5 verse 33. Actually 37, that says, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. Because we forget, we say the vows in sickness and in health, but when that sickness comes, we turn around and then our yes becomes no. I don't have time. I have my life to live. I'm going to carry on with my life. But Felicity said no. She had a wow. And she can tell the story. And coming in.
I just want to say that scripture, Numbers 30 verse 2. Mm. That when you make a vow to the Lord, the Bible says you are obligated to that vow.
Yeah.
And you must fulfill that vow to the Lord first. And in the context of a marriage vow, there's obviously two elements. There's the earthly element and there's the heavenly element. When you make that vow, the Lord is present in that vow. So you must be careful if you are going to make that vow or not. Rather not make the vow, but if you are going to make the vow, it's forever. Mm. It's forever. And the Lord is in your midst to make sure that it is forever until there's other things that stops that forever. But... The vow is unto the Lord. And he says, I'll read to you Numbers 30 verse 2. He says, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said that you would. And then Paul echoes that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10. He says, now to you who are married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, that a wife is not to depart from her husband. Mm. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. So a vow is so important that God is involved.
Mm. Yeah.
Your creator, he is involved in the vow.
Yeah.
And so the next question that I have is, so why should we honor the marital vows that we make?
Mm. Do you want to go, Loving?
she's
the anointed one in the family. I'm the wild one, but she's the anointed one.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to the vows is from God. You know, especially when it comes to us as Christians, we cannot do the vow without God. We cannot do the vow without Scripture. So we, I have another scripture here that says Ephesians 5, verse 25. Let me just read. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Why should we only honor our marital vows? Because of the word of God. Because this is the right thing to do. And I always say this, if you're not ready to honor your vows, don't get married. Rather stay single, rather stay engaged until you're ready. Because I believe the engagement period is to make yourself ready for your husband, to make yourself ready for your wife. Yeah. But if you're not ready for that commitment, don't do the vows. Because a vow is holy unto God.
Yes. And it cements your reality.
Yeah.
Whatever you do and whatever you have done, once you've made a vow to a person, it cements your reality.
Mm.
You are now obligated to do whatever you said in your vow to that person and what comes out of you.
Mm.
And so whether it's poverty or whether it's prosperity, you have to keep your vow to that individual.
Mm. And so I want to get quickly into something that you mentioned, Pastor Christine. It's not one of my questions, but I have to ask it because when you said it, it just prompted me and it dropped a question in my spirit. You said that if you are not ready, you should remain engaged. You should wait.
Yes.
Now, what does that waiting season look like?
Tell how long that season looked like for you.
Yeah, it was very long.
10 years.
Yes.
I wasn't ready.
Yeah. Waiting for me was long. There's many a times that Donovan would say he wasn't ready. I wasn't ready either.
Mm.
I think you have an idea of how marriage should look like. We all have this wow before we get married. We want to be married. We want this ring on our finger. But as soon as it's there, we want to start controlling one another.
Yeah.
And I always say, when you have a control in your spirit, rather wait.
Mm.
You cannot control the next person. A husband to be cannot control his wife to be. And a wife to be cannot control a husband to be. Then she's got to wait. And that waiting period for me was get myself ready. Get myself in order. Get yourself aligned to the word of God. Because many a times when we're single, we think we align to the word of God, but we're really aligned to the word of God. We're not aligned to scripture. I had to get myself ready for him. And we as a female especially, we're not that patient with our male counterpart.
Lord,
you know, we want them in a certain picture.
Yeah.
We want them to be a provider. We want them to be, soos hulle sê in Afrikaans, die ridder op die wit perd. En baie keer het die ridder nie die wit perd nie. En
wat is van my van die praat hier nou, sister?
Nee, ek praat in algemeen.
Okay, sister.
En dan het die ridder nie die wit perd nie. And then, but we push that thing. And you know, we've been counseling so many people, so many couples, and then sometimes the couples are not ready. But they've set their wedding date already. So when they come for counseling, the wedding date has been set. And although we give counsel and say, no, not yet, rather wait another few months, they still go ahead and they get married. And then you have to do the post-counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And the post-counseling is so difficult.
And so you met a colleague, Baba.
Yes, because in post-counseling, they want to divorce. So rather wait then before you get and prepare yourself properly. Mm.
Yeah.
Today, we often see the prevalence of vows that are being written by the bride and the groom. We see these, you know, they're not the traditional vows any longer.
Yeah.
It is vows written. It's almost like love letters, you know, written to each other, but they take the form of vows, you know, at a ceremony. So what are your thoughts on this modern practice? Noting what we know about traditional vows, what are your thoughts?
Before you go.
No. What you gonna do? I wanted to say to I wanted to, okay, you go.
In my hand, I've got our vows. of 20 years ago.
Wow.
So needless to say, we planned we're going to have our own vows as well. And then the day of the wedding day, I prepared myself. I was ready for this day. Yes. And I forgot my vows. Because in my mind, I thought to myself, no, the father or the pastor or the priest, whoever's going to stand there in front, they must have vows, so they must marry us. Yes. And then at the moment, right in front here, this pastor said, oh, no, they have their own vows. And here I'm standing looking at Donovan, not having my vows. And here he took out the piece of paper that I had to read from. And needless to say, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I had nerves. But while I was preparing this, I asked my husband, this thing about vows, and now you can say those three.
Yeah, it's important that the listeners understand this. You know, as a marriage officer, when you stand there and you're going to officiate that wedding now, there's only three things that constitutes a vow. All the other things are candy, whether it's traditional candy or whether it's, like you said now, modern candy, it's still candy. So when they stand in front of you, the first thing you have to ask them, is there any just reason for you to not to get married today? The answer would obviously be no, there's no just reason. Then the second question is this, do you take, and she says yes, do you take and he says yes? That's the second legal question. And then the marriage officer then comes by the giving and the receiving of vows, the evidence is the ring. I now pronounce you husband and wife. Those are the three things that constitute a legal vow in terms of marriage. The traditional practice of speaking those vows, I think it's beautiful. So I'll take it from my perspective. When I officiate weddings, I do both.
Okay.
So I first allow the in sickness and in health, in prosperity and more prosperity, all of those things first. Then they put their rings on. And then I ask them if they would be okay to tell each other their vows. And then that is where the fireworks happen.
Okay.
So I don't have a problem with it as long as it's in the bounds of what the Bible deems as honor. I don't have a problem. There would be some people that might have concerns that we are moving away from the traditional vows, but the traditional vows finds its ambit within those three questions that are spoken about. And then everything else is just traditional or modern candy.
Yes.
Okay. So I want to quickly look at, of course, when we get married, we have, you know, a crowd of witnesses. We have people that are signing for us, you know, and we call these individuals witnesses, and they are generally present at every wedding ceremony. But when you think about the name that is given to them, a witness, the question that comes to mind is, are they then meant to hold the bridal couple accountable to the vows that they have made? So that is, you know, my brain went really far when I looked at these. You know, the titles that we give people are not by coincidence. So are our witnesses meant to hold us accountable to the things that we promise each other on that day?
That is such a beautiful question. I'm not sure if you watched the movie Divorce Invitation.
No.
It's about this couple that got married. And like first few months, they could not, after the first few months, they could not stand one another. And they wanted to get the divorce. Beautiful movie. If anybody wants to go and watch a movie, please go into Netflix, Divorce Invitation. And then they were a Jewish couple. Then before they could divorce, the rabbi told them they have to go to all of the people that they invited to the wedding. And all of those people were witnesses to the wedding. And if they can get all of them together again in one room, then all of them need to say yes or no to the divorce. And then only they can divorce. So needless to say, they went onto the highways and byways to go and get all the witnesses together. It's a beautiful movie. And for me, I looked at that movie, and this is one of the reasons we have to invite the right people to our wedding. Because we invite everybody at our wedding. We were youth leaders at that time. We invited the whole youth. We invited everybody at his work, because he was He was friends to everybody at work. I invited my whole department and friends, 300 people later. Wow. So we prayed about it, and we didn't know how we're going to get all of these people at one place.
Yes.
So we organized a youth camp, and we invited everybody.
No,
to
you didn't organize a youth camp.
What did we do?
The wedding was on
the wedding
camp.
Was at the youth camp, so yeah. We could do that. It was madness. Yeah. But for me, witnesses plays a huge role at your wedding. Mm-hmm. And if anybody's planning a wedding and listening to us, please, if you have 300 people on your wish list, start scratching out, start eliminating and decide just to have the right people there.
Yeah, I think witnesses are important, man. Mm. And I think the right witness is even more important.
Yeah.
So you can't have... So you have guests and you have witnesses.
Mm.
For me, those witnesses are those people like a Debbie and a Gerald.
Yes.
People that would walk a road with you.
Yeah.
That would be able to be almost like conservatoires over you, making sure that you do things right.
Yeah.
And when you are out of line, I can't correct you can't correct me because we're both stubborn at that time. Then the witness, whoever they are, those special people would come and sit you down.
Yeah.
And say, listen, these are the vows that you've uttered before God and one another.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in alignment with what you've said before the Lord. Can we help you?
I have a beautiful example, if I may just share this example. A couple of years ago, it could be 10 years ago already, this couple was standing on divorce, and they went to the divorce court, and the judge, before, normally they do that to judges, before he will
issue
the paper of divorce, they will send them for counseling.
Mm.
And then this couple came to us. My husband is a registered counselor, marriage counselor, and they came to us, and we sat with him for a couple of months, actually.
6 months.
And 6 months to be exact. And then he had to write out a paper to say that
a report,
should they or should they not. Needless to say, the couple is still married after 10 years, the journey that we walked with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just to find out during the counseling that the basic things in their marriage were not right.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing why I'm bringing this up under this witnesses, because we think of the guests only and the people, but there's one witness there as well, and it's the marriage of officer that's officiating.
Mm-hmm.
He's also have to witness, and he's got the legal right then at the end of the day to come back. So this couple must actually go back to the one that married them. So, but they came back, the judge said, go to your counselor. We've counseled them for a couple of months, and I mean, that's such a beautiful story, because although the judge weren't there, witnesses is a legal part as well of the marriage.
Yeah. So in Afrikaans, moenie flakkie witnesses kry nie. Kry mense wat jou kan help.
Yes.
It is 25:06. We're going to take a quick music break. Good afternoon. It is 20 minutes before 6 o'clock. I cannot believe how the time has flown. But that was Chris Tomlin's Nobody Loves Me Like You. We are joined in studio by Pastor Christine and Pastor Donovan Jacobs, and they are from EKC. And they are my guests today in the very last hour of the very last episode of The Harvest Table. And today it's all about the vow, until death us do part. And before we took a break, we spoke about just the role of witnesses and are they meant to hold us accountable? The bridal couple, are they meant to hold the bridal couple accountable to the vows that they've made on the day? But I have one last question that I think might take up a little more time because of just the different moving parts and nuances to it. And the question that I have is, does there ever come a time when God releases us from the vows that we have made?
Sure.
That's an important question. Mm-hmm. Can I just position it first in a way that people understand. I was at a memorial service on Thursday evening.
Mm.
And the gentleman that passed, he had some severe mental challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was he took his life.
Mm.
And on Thursday, we had a memorial service. And one of the ladies came and she started testifying about God.
Mm.
And she started testifying about where this gentleman is. And then she said the following. She said, the most unkind thing that you can say to another human being because of the fifth commandment. He's taken his life. He's a murderer. Murderers don't go to heaven. And they said he's in hell now. And my anger was provoked. I was angry, but I didn't sin. And when I got up, what I wanted to ask her, but I was kind to her, I wanted to ask her, are you the fourth member of the Trinity? I wanted to ask her that. And then I unpacked the scriptures about what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. I unpacked the scriptures in Romans 5, verse 10 and 11, in John 3, verse 18. So the answer there is God's grace keeps us. Mm. And the clincher was Romans 8. You read from verse 35 to verse 37 and 38 that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Mm. Not angels, not demons, not suicide, not divorce. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I think we as the church, the members of the body of Jesus Christ, I think we should become more kinder and less judgmental about where people find themselves in their stories, in the different stations in their lives. We judge people in one season, but God judges on all seasons, from the beginning to the end. Mm. And so when it comes to the breaking of vows, does God allow for the breaking of vows? The answer is an emphatic yes. No?
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part. But now what? Ek sê altyd vir die mense wat trou, moenie so vinnig as my trou nie, die dood kom so vinnig nie. Ek gaan nie so vinnig verlos nie. But here's the thing. There are circumstances that you are released from that vows. The Old Testament has a few. The New Testament has two or three. And maybe I can just read it and bring some insight to the people, and you can ask me questions about that.
Mm.
I think the big one for me is the first one. In the Old Testament, hey, the husband could divorce the wife and calls it marital unfaithfulness if she had thick ankles or she didn't look too good. Then he can do this. I talak you now. That's where it comes from.
Okay.
And if they're looking for a scriffy, they can find it in Deuteronomy 24 verse 1 to 4. No? And so the Old Testament allows for divorce if a man finds something indecent about his wife. How do you like that? I'm glad I'm not an Old Testament guy anymore. In the New Testament, there's two requirements that we're talking about. It's adultery and fornication, which can be unpacked in a deeper level. There's that. And the other thing that we have to talk about, that we don't talk about, is when an unbelieving partner, the Bible says spouse, leaves the believing partner. Mm. The Bible says that person is free to marry again. But you know what we don't talk about, which I think is important, is when there's in a marriage that abuse, that physical abuse, that financial abuse, that I'm going to kill you type of abuse. Mm. I don't think that God expects of you to stay in a marriage where your life is in danger. And I asked my wife, get an opinion, a legal opinion. So I'll read you a legal opinion on that particular issue where your life is in danger and the church tells you, stay in that marriage because you can't get divorced. I think that's ill-advised. So here's it. While the Bible doesn't explicitly speak to the topic of physical abuse in the context of marriage, one of the overarching themes of Scripture is the protection of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible also recognizes in the New Testament that we are to be subject to the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the law, one of the reasons why someone could get divorced is if the marriage relationship has broken down irretrievably. Acts of physical abuse would be one of the reasons why a marriage would have broken down irretrievably and would entitle the victim to leave the offender to protect his or her own life. It can never be said that it is the will of God for someone to stay in a physically abusive relationship that could cost them their lives.
Mm-hmm.
This would make God unjust, which is not what he is. He is a righteous God.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can ask me anything.
We've, of course, you alluded to the divorce element when you answered my initial question. And so we've got about 10 minutes to go, and I quickly want to just delve into this. We often see the presence of premarital counseling in churches. We see, postmarital counseling in churches. But we do not see help for the divorced believer.
Yes, it's one of the biggest unreached groups in the church.
Mm. And so my question is, what is the role of the church to a divorced believer?
Mm. We can't speak about specifics in terms of a person, so I'll speak broadly about it. So when a person gets divorced, I'll give you one example of a couple in our church. So she got married to the guy. 6 months later, they decided they don't want to be, they made a mistake, they maybe had too much drugs or something. But then now she fell in love with another guy and he fell in love with her. And then we went for counsel from one of the elders in the city. And he said, this lady is now divorced, but this guy is free to marry. He's never been married before. What can... So we had two different opinions. The one elder said, he can't marry her because she's a divorcee. The other elder said, take that woman, send her back to her husband, her ex-husband, and ask him to release her so that she can get married to the guy. She then went and he released her, and the two of them got married. And so I think that even if there are legal reasons for people not to get married, and they are divorced, my humble opinion is that that person or people must consult the Lord first. And if it's in their heart to get married, let them get married. Would you rather want two fornicators running around? Would you rather want two adulterers running around? Or would you want them to get married? Because there's no sin that God can't forgive. And this is what Romans 8 verse 37 says. It's from verse 5 to 37. Where nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And if the couple has found the sin, we've made mistakes, but want to get married. If they're older than 21, the law of the land is going to allow them to get married. I think in terms of the church, we should stop being so judgmental and leave it up to the Lord. I think it's best for them not to operate in adultery. I think it's better for them to get married rather than... You know, people that's much older than me would not say that. They would say that that lady is divorced, she can never get married again. That young man can go get married to someone who's not divorced. I disagree with that. I feel that they should get married.
All right.
Because God forgives every offense. That's my premise.
Before we say goodbye, any word of encouragement to those tuning in this afternoon, those that are perhaps, you know, planning a wedding, getting married very soon, and are, as you mentioned, perhaps in a place where they may not be ready for whatever reason. And then perhaps, you know, speak to those as well that are married about the importance of honoring the vows that we've made before the Lord.
I think from my side, whoever's listening, I want to encourage the listeners to know this. You're not the first person who's at your station. Many have been here before. And the Bible teaches us about a Titus 2 woman, a Titus 2 man, that a younger woman must go and sit at the older woman's feet, and a younger man must go and sit at the older man's feet. And they should learn from those that's gone before them. I used to say this when I was younger, I don't have to travel this road on my own. I look at older people and I see they've been there, they've done that. So why can't I learn from their mistakes or learn from their experiences and then build on that? I don't have to reinvent the wheel. So I want to encourage those that want to walk this walk of being married. Maybe you're going through divorce, maybe wherever you find yourself this afternoon, find somebody that you can speak to, find somebody that you can glean from, but you're not the first one at your station.
Well, folks, I want to say this. Marriage is the nearest thing you'll experience like heaven on earth, right?
Yeah.
But it's also the nearest thing you'll experience like hell on earth.
Oh, yes.
I say it this way. I say it this way. Your partner has been designed to take the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that only heaven can be revealed in you. Your partner is going to be seriously anointed to get the hell out of you.
Yeah.
And you should be okay with that. In terms of people that want to get married, I would advise strongly the following. I would say, husband or guy, if you want to get married, make sure you can die for this woman.
Wow.
Make sure you can provide for this woman. Make sure you're going to do it the long haul. That's it. For the woman, I only have one thing for you. Make sure you can respect this man. If you can't respect, I'm not talking about love. I know the difference. If you can't respect this man, don't get married to the man.
Yeah.
And having said everything, I want to say, wow, get married, man. Mm. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's wonderful. God designed it, right? Yes. I'm a better man because of this woman. Mm. I don't know what I would be without this woman.
Thank you, Pastor Donovan. Thank you, Pastor Christine. Thank you so much for coming out this afternoon and for unpacking what it means when we say those vows on our wedding day. Thank you to everyone that has sent messages. We acknowledge it. Marco coming through saying, this is a great ankles. Session. And he's just checking to see if there's some thick ankles in the vicinity. And then Samantha, thank you very much to Shanti. Thank you very much to all those who have tuned in this afternoon. I pray that everything that was shared has impacted you in the manner that it has impacted me. Let's take a quick break. Good afternoon. DOE with Lead Us Again and Afrikaaps, Afrikaaps, Alive in Kaaps with Asati Vidyerebasi. It's gone 6 p.m. and I hope that you enjoyed the Harvest Table as much as I did. I had such an amazing time in studio. Wow. And I hope that it uplifted and just blessed your spirit as much as it did mine. To all those who've sent in messages, know that I acknowledge and see them all. To those who are requesting contact information for Pastors Donovan and Pastor Christine, I will make sure that the details come your way first thing on Monday morning. May God bless each one of you on this Saturday evening. It's gone 6 o'clock. It's time for the news. Be safe on the roads. And it was great. Thank you very much for hosting me, and bye-bye now.